Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, where you'll find great insight on what's happening in the world of local marketing from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's show is sponsored by Simplify, the leaders in localized programmatic ad buying, and Site Impact, the experts in email marketing. And now, here are your hosts, Gordon and Corey.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to our podcast. Hello, Corey.
Hello, Gordon. How are you?
Good. You've been a busy guy lately, haven't you? We're going to be talking about a lot of things, but particularly about what you're doing with all of this reforecasting. We've got an interview with somebody from Shopify. We've got a lot to talk about with all of the data that we're beginning to receive about how advertising is changing. We want to talk a little bit about marketing technology and maybe the timing of, you know, perhaps a resurgence that we might see of, the shutdown orders, maybe in the fall and early winter. But like I said, you've been a busy guy. What have you been up to lately?
Well, it's all this work is really cutting into my nap time, I'll tell you that. Well, what we're busy doing is reforecasting 2020 and, you know, the impact that COVID has had on marketing, on the world that we live in. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. We look at a couple different areas, three different areas, really. We concentrate on consumer behavior, what's going on in a geographic region. And I put unemployment and things like that into that bucket. We look at what happens in media, and we're looking at what's happening in business, what businesses are up and down.
So we have data on unemployment, which is obviously up across a lot of markets. So tell me about the first of all, thank you for doing this. This is really interesting, and I think a lot of people might say, wow, you know, if things are going to continue to change, how can you possibly get some information now to forecast what's going to happen for the full year of 2020.
Sure.
So talk about that. Why?
Yeah, sure.
Why are we taking that risk?
Because we got to. Because it's fun, and we need to, take a look at all the available data we have. And I think everybody understands that when you talk about a forecast, you're talking about a point in time. Hey, this is everything that we have, all the information that we have available. This is what the model predicts. Here we go. It's just like forecasting a hurricane path, right? Based on what we have now, this is what the hurricane looks like.
All right.
And that's what we're going to do.
Talk about the hurricane. Talk about COVID-19 and the path through New York, the path through Chicago, the path through California, the initial path through Washington State that seems to have subsided.
That's what's really interesting is because it's going to be different by geographic region. It's going to be different than it is in Seattle than it is in Miami. And that's what we're slogging through right now. And it has everything to do with unemployment, plus the timetable that people are on or different states are on when things are opening up, when things are shutting down. And we're doing a couple different scenarios, best case scenario, worst case scenario. Which one are we going to put out there? Knowing that, you know, as new information comes in the fall, once the asteroid that is actually circling Earth right now or on its way, by the way, I'm not making that up. There is some giant asteroid out there.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I know.
Don't give me something else to worry about.
That or the caldera in Yellowstone, one of those two. But those kind of events will force us to reforecast. But we're starting somewhere.
Yeah. We just did a survey that I just thought was fascinating of 278 ad managers who right there on the front line selling. What are they seeing?
Yeah, basically what we ask is a basic question is, hey, in January or in December of 2019, how much did you think you were going to be up in any of the given media you sell? And then now, where do you see it yourself? And you can imagine that there was everything from, hey, we're going to be 1% up. That's what a lot of the newspaper people said, hey, we're going to be flat, to now we're going to be down. And everything, here's the thing, all non-digital down, all digital still up. And we didn't ask it that way. We mixed up how we asked. So we didn't ask people, hey, here's the non-digital stuff, here's the digital stuff. We mixed it up.
And these people were selling multiple products. It wasn't like, okay, a TV seller just selling TV, so he's going to answer for TV. What do you get? What was the average number of products people were selling?
About five.
And so they'd be selling banners in addition to
TV. Yeah, exactly. We showed them a list and said, hey, you know, tick off the things that you sell and that you know about. And boom, 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 boom. They did. And then, okay, where did you think you were going to be? Where do you think you're going to be now?
All
and
right. What were the big ups and downs?
The biggest ups and downs, let's see, newspaper, they said they were going to be 1% up, and now it looks like 27% down.
Ow.
Radio had the biggest swing, though. They said, hey, we're going to be 8% up at the beginning of the year. Now we think we're going to be 23% down.
Ouch. How about the big one? Big ones in digital. You said all digital were forecasts.
Yeah, all
were
digital
up.
Still up. Now, it's truncated a little bit. Like OTT, for example. At the beginning of the year, OTT was going to be up 17%. Well, now it's been dialed down to about 6%. So, but all digital's like that. Some were up. Online video up 14%, and they've dialed it back down to 5%.
Yeah, you know, it just underscores that advertising seems to be becoming less and less the lifeblood of media companies, and they need to migrate.
It's been that way for a little while. Haven't we been screaming from the mountaintops that you need to be a marketing partner, if not a business partner?
Right. In the sense of a crisis triggering an economic downturn, triggering a longstanding trend. Yes, we saw it. We heard it in the interview in the last podcast with Dave Lugie from Tegna saying 10 years ago during the Great Recession, he saw it. And television migrated towards it gets less than half of its revenues now from local or direct advertising, and the rest from political, and the rest from retrans. So in 10 years, what's your company going to be saying that it did as a result of this to pivot and say, well, we relied less on advertising and migrated toward what? I think the big thing, Corey, is marketing technology. And we certainly saw it with companies like Shopify, Wix.com, Web.com, et cetera. Really significant uptick in the number of subscribers for their e-commerce technology as local businesses plugged in that to their website. We have a great interview with Ian Black, who heads up retail for Shopify, and that's coming up right after this.
Borrell's Local Marketing Trends podcast is brought to you today by Simplify. We recognize that business needs are shifting rapidly as companies look to adapt to these uncertain times. Simplify's goal is to support you and your business. Please reach out to us today to see how we can help you drive and measure online sales. Visit simpli.fi to learn more.
With most Americans now working from home, they're now more ingrained than ever in their business and personal email boxes. Site Impact gives you the power to send hyper-local and hyper-targeted email campaigns directly to the source through their 100% opt-in database. Email engagement and click-through rates have spiked in recent weeks. Don't lose touch with your customers, especially now when they need it most. Want to learn more? Go to siteimpact.com.
Okay, we're back, and I am with Ian Black from Shopify. They're based up in Ottawa. He is the director of retail. Ian, welcome, and thanks for joining the podcast.
Well, great to be here. Thanks so much for having us, Gordon.
Ian, let's start with talking a little bit about what Shopify is and what it does. We've been talking about how COVID-19 has really changed some things in businesses. That's a theme of our current episode of podcast. And Shopify has really been at the center of that, and seeing businesses realize that they really have to have a virtual store. If nobody's coming into the physical store, they really all of a sudden need a virtual store. You're based in Ottawa. You've got business across the world, $1.5 billion in revenue last year, 58% of your businesses in the U.S. and Canada. Got about 1 million merchants toward the end of, I guess, 2019. So tell us a little bit more about Shopify.
You bet. Well, Shopify was founded about 15 years ago, and our CEO and founder, Toby, was actually building a snowboard business at the time. And as he started to do that, he realized how incredibly complicated and tough it was in those days to build an online presence. And so really from that moment forward, Shopify's mission was to help small businesses get online, sell online, and really bring their businesses to life online. And as we've gotten deeper into that mission, we've almost ditched the online piece. And we've said, we just want to make it possible for all businesses, all brands to grow their business, whether online or offline or social or anything in between, And so we provide the back-end tools, the front-end experiences, and even things like shipping, logistics, inventory, to ensure that if you've got a vision for a business you want to build, you can do that, and you can do it in a fairly easy way, and you can do it all through Shopify. So that's been our mission, is to build the one platform that brands can go to market with.
So here's the concept, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on it. Businesses realize people can't come in, you know, during a shutdown, or maybe they will, but when things open back up. But having a virtual storefront for when they don't feel like coming out of their homes, even if things are still open, is really important. Yes. You guys are providing that. So let me ask you a question. What part of your business, the customer reviews you've seen in the past 3 months maybe come in, are businesses that are pre-existing and maybe have a physical storefront, not just somebody saying, hey, I have an idea to sell face masks, you know, online, yeah, so I'm going to create a virtual storefront and that's it.
We've seen tens of thousands of businesses go from just being offline to all of a sudden being omnichannel, online and offline at the same time. We've seen it in our data businesses that are on the platform that went into the COVID crisis already having an online and offline store. Obviously, their offline stores or their retail locations had to close. But across our entire platform, those businesses that were already online were able to switch 95% of their lost in-store revenue into online channels, inclusive of kind of online purchase and pickup at curbside and things like that. But it's an amazing stat that shows those businesses that had both offline and online presences were incredibly resilient during the crisis. And obviously, we speak with businesses every day who weren't in that position, and they've been hit incredibly hard. And so that versatility of being online and offline has been huge.
That's an amazing stat. 95%. Not sure I quite understand it. So let me ask you the type of things those folks are selling. I mean, come on. Yep. Okay, you'll be able to get 90%. You're dead in the water. So everybody's going to buy what, HVAC service, a roof, or whatever online. Talk to me about the type of things that people are selling. What type of businesses are we talking about here?
Yeah, so I mean, in some ways, it's what you'd expect, kind of food and home essentials and all those categories were the businesses that, if they did have an offline presence, were able to very quickly shift all their demand online. Or if they didn't have an offline presence, they were only online, that happened naturally. But while it took categories like apparel and home goods, and many other kind of categories that were hard hit in the early weeks of COVID, we did see after about week four or so, those categories start to pick up as well. And businesses who had physical locations and online locations started to see a real pickup of their online orders and that demand come back. And one of the really interesting things we've seen is, whereas before e-commerce was often viewed as a global or certainly a national platform whereby you might set up shop, but your customers would be everywhere. During COVID, we saw a huge uptick in local customers buying from local businesses, but doing it online. So those connections that businesses had built with their customers stayed through the crisis. They just shifted to online transactions rather than in person.
What's the biggest mistake businesses are making right now, or maybe the biggest deficiency they have that they need to get fixed as the pandemic continues and perhaps, God forbid, resurges in, you know, during the holiday season? What are the things that they really, really need to know?
I think that's such a good point. We all hope for the best, but we do need to plan for the worst in the next few months. And a lot of businesses have made transitions to get online, enable curbside pickup, and generally kind of make sure their business is omnichannel. But I think it's still important in the months ahead to ensure that all local businesses are getting ahead of that. Because not only could we have a second wave of shutdown, and you'll need to find a way to make sure you can still email your customers and make sales during that period. But we also know that consumer behavior is going to change irrevocably going forward. And so all the customers that might have come into your store pre-COVID may not necessarily come back. They may assume that they can do all their shopping online going forward. So not losing sight of the fact that the impact of the past 3 months might be carried forward, and making sure that businesses have an online and an offline presence, and those are tightly synced.
Are there any businesses that just seem insulated and don't really need to do as much with their site, or does this just apply to all businesses? They really need to have an online presence to be able to conduct business virtually. Anybody exempt?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, it's I'm sure there's someone listening or someone out there who feels that they live in that category. But I mean, we've even seen in the last number of months local firms who had always just kind of sold produce to local customers through farmers markets or local restaurants. Even businesses like that have had to get online to access their existing customers or find new ones. So it's really hard for us to find any category that isn't impacted by this and isn't made stronger by building connections with your consumers, both in person, but supplementing that with online connections as well.
So you've got customers who are selling kumquats and eggplants and tomatoes and stuff like that. Is that what you're telling me?
You know what? It's crazy, but that's kind of the depth and power of e-commerce these days. It's no longer just one category or a few categories. It's really everything. And whereas maybe even kind of a few years ago, the online store formats and tools to be able to sell different types of products or even different business models weren't there. That's really evolved. So whatever your product category, whatever your business model or pricing model, really all those things are supported and pretty available off the shelf with online stores these days.
Right. What Shopify is offering is not a really, when you think about it, in the scheme of things, a high-priced product. The average for the majority of businesses that are Shopify customers are spending, what, $50 a month? Is that right?
Yes. I mean, we have plans that start at $9. Our kind of most common plan is at $29 a month. And so it's not a terribly expensive endeavor to get going. And we take the philosophy as a company. There's certainly kind of the retail giants out there who have millions of dollars to spend on this technology. But we want to take the world's best technology for selling online, selling in person, and make it available to all businesses, whether you're just coming up with your idea or kind of a few years into it. We want to ensure that that technology is available to everyone at a low cost. And so we've really been about that in keeping our prices low and building as broad a platform as possible so that lots of people can take advantage of these tools.
Great. Ian Black, Director of Retail for Shopify. Thank you so much for joining. Great, great insights here. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Pleasure. Thanks, Gordon.
Man, you see right there, Shopify's success, that's evidence of a sea change in how a lot of local businesses have to change how they're doing business. You know, it's a different kind of world now. You have to think forward about your virtual presence.
Yeah. You know, this thing, we're looking at this model from Morgan Stanley, I guess, it says, okay, we all could be in lockdown again, maybe some form of it in November and December as the virus, you know, rears its ugly head again. It's just a scenario. I think it's likely. Shouldn't you be preparing your customers for that, you know, potential and helping them with their website? That could be, Corey, their lead product, you know, not, hey, let's buy some advertising. Everything's opening. It's great. Say, ooh, you might want to start preparing for this. You might get a lot more attention from them at that point.
And there's evidence on the consumer side, too. I talked a little bit in the beginning of the podcast about we're looking at consumer trends. I think this one's significant. In April, 4% of non-or households without any children, 4% of them upgraded their broadband service. 21% of households with kids did. That makes sense, right? Because they're at home, at school, they need better broadband, or they're probably going to keep that and get used to, you know, a better service that way. So it's just pushing more and more digital and digital life.
Good point. I've actually purposely kept my broadband very, very narrow just to drive my kids out of the house, make sure that they leave, you know, when the doors are open again so they can not sit at home and watch stupid videos on TikTok. Anyway, thanks, Corey. Another great podcast. And I really liked the interview with Ian. One thing that I heard was that instead of just seeing bigger businesses, now they're seeing smaller local businesses, you know, begin to migrate toward this e-commerce platform. There's your sign. Thanks, Corey, and thanks, everybody, for joining us for this podcast. Until next time, see you later.
Thanks, Gordon.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Simplify and by Site Impact. If you have submissions for something you'd like Corey or Gordon to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email the hosts at podcast@BurrellAssociates.com and let them know. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.